Thank you for the introduction. As you said, my name is Amanda Modulin, and over the summer I did research over limit grazing of soybeans under the supervision of Dr. Goff and Dr. Chad Lee. I want to first begin by defining what limit grazing is. It is a form of restricted grazing used to supplement the dietary needs of the livestock. It's a type of rotational grazing where cattle are moved from one paddock to another, but it is restricted to an hourly basis and is only used for supplemental reasons. This is used to increase the performance of the cattle during low forage production periods and during low nutrient values as well. In many areas of the United States, they're beginning to integrate grain crops into a limit grazing system. An example of this is wheat being used in the southern Great Plains. And most of the time, it is grazed in the spring and fall. It is also being used as a dual-purpose crop, which I want to define that as well. A dual-purpose crop means that it is providing two benefits. One, a grain benefit. Two, the supplementary diet needs of the cattle. But this graph right here has a good example of how it is grazed. So this graph is over the fall calving operation. This line represents the dietary needs of the mama cow. In the beginning, her needs are low because she has not been bred yet. But during May, when she is bred, her needs increase to take care of her baby. This is the amount of forage production provided by cool season grasses, which is the grasses that are usually seen in Kentucky. And as you can see, in these two areas, there is a deficit where she has not provided the nutrients needed. And this is when the wheat is used to supplement the nutrients she's needed. But if you look here, you're going to see another deficit in June through August. And this is where we want to use our soybeans to see if there's a potential way to supplement her needs. But to have a dual-purpose crop, there's different management that you need to do to let the grain be produced. And first, you have to think about when to start grazing that crop. And you want to start grazing when the plant has adequate root growth, so it's not pulled up by the cattle. Next, you need to think about how many cattle you can put on that area without causing too many stresses. And this number here, 250 to 600, is variable because of the weather conditions during that time and the stresses that might be on the plant. Next, you want to think about how much can your cattle graze. So they suggest 50% in the fall and 60% in the winter. Finally, you need to think about when can you start removing that animal from the field. And for wheat, it's during the first hollow stem. And this is because the apical meric stem is now above the ground, and if the cattle graze that, then no yield is possible. So we think that soybeans may be able to provide a higher quality forage because it is a legume, which means it provides available protein and is high in digestibility. Another characteristic that soybeans has is that it's able to bounce back after defoliation, especially in early defoliation stages compared to late stages. So here's a meta-analysis graph that Dr. Goff put together, and it shows something that we predict to see with this experiment. This bottom orange line represents the vegetative stage. And as you can see, as defoliation increases, there's a low amount, very, very small amount of yield loss. But when you move on to the seed stages, you can see as we defoliate more, there is a greater yield loss. So with keeping in mind those graphs, we wanted to look at the impact of limit grazing on forage yields, the grain yield, and the nutritive value that the cattle are going to receive. Then we want to see if there is a compromise that we can find between grazing for the cattle and finding a satisfactory grain yield. With keeping those objectives in mind, we began to make our methods for this research. And it was conducted at Spindletop in the summer of 2017. We had a soybean maturity of 4.4. The plot was designed with RCBD and was planted May 13th with 300,000 seeds per hectare. Plot size were 5 feet by 10 feet. And for this experiment, we had two different treatments, first was two different levels of defoliation, one at 33% and one at 67%. Three different stages at which they were grazed, R1, R2, and R3. And then we had an undefoliated control to see the estimated or the average yield for that field. Defoliation was done by hand. This was used to simulate grazing. Pre and post grazing, we took an evaluation of the leaf, stem, and floral components to see what was actually taken out of the field by the cattle. We weighed the total biomass grazed and took a sub-sample to run NDF, ADF, and crude protein, which I'll go in more detail with my graphs. And then at the end of the year, we harvested our grain by one quadrat meter. So once all this data was collected, we began to make graphs. So this is an evaluation of the available forage that we gathered. And you can see that as it matured, we were able to have more available forage, which makes sense because the soybean is growing. And then in R2 and R3, we saw that when we had more defoliation, we were able to acquire more available forage. So in this graph, we are looking at the total mass, which is the leaf, stem, and floral. So I want to break this down and talk about each individual one. In this graph, you see that the amount of leaf removed was significant between R1 and R3, and that's just because of the growth rate of the plant. Next, you can see that the amount of defoliation also affected how much leaf was removed, because we were, again, reaching down further in that canopy, getting more leaf biomass. And at this point, it's important to talk about the percent of stem was not different at maturity stages or at defoliation. But the floral removed was significant only in defoliation, which is because with the stages you had the same amount of floral there, but as you defoliated down you gathered more. So let's talk about what the animal actually gathered. So crude protein, as you can see, decreased, meaning that it was not available it was available, but it decreased because secondary wall structures began to form. But this line is the recommended crude protein for growing livestock. The canopy also had a significant difference, but we still was able to meet the needs of the animal. Next is NDF. And NDF is the difference in a cell wall component, and as NDF increases, intake decreases. But so it's important that we realize that this line is the maximum line. We don't want to go above this line. So you can see that all the bars were below. So again, we're meeting the dietary needs of the animal. And then ADF is a measure of digestibility. As ADF increases, digestibility decreases. So you can see that the bars are below the line, which is what we're looking for. So now that we know how much available forage we had, the nutrient value, we're going to look at the grain yields. And you can see in this graph that R1, low defoliation, compared to our control, was very similar, which is a good thing. This is kind of what we're looking for. The other thing we need to compare is the average soybean yields in the area. So this line here represents the full season soybean yields, and as you can see, three of the bars are above or at that line, meaning that we met the average for this area. But another yield we need to talk about is double crop soybeans, which is important in Kentucky because it's a system very widely implemented. And you can see that it was above that one as well. In conclusion, I think soybeans have a potential in limited grazing because it has a large amount of available forage, high TP percentage, has high digestibility, and satisfactory crop yields. We can also find a compromise, but it depends on what the cattle needs and the grain yields you're looking for. But this was just a preliminary trial, and there's some areas of improvement, such as actually using animals to graze, have repetitive grazing, and seen a variation between stocking density. That completes my demonstration. Are there any questions? Yes.
They tear things out differently, they trample the plants and so forth, so there's a damage factor associated with that.
Yes.
But maybe think, why not put tram lines in the field and mechanically harvest and feed the tops to the cattle and just go out there and harvest at certain stages? Would you get enough biomass to make it worth it?
So your question is
instead of the animal harvesting, you go out there and harvest the machine wise, and do tram lines so you don't damage the wheels, and then just bring that in and feed.
That would be possible, but with the size of my plots, it wouldn't show a great effect on the cattle yet. If this experiment was replicated in bigger size, we would be able to provide more forage for the animal and then evaluate the nutritional benefits.
It's more of an opinion question. If you found out that that was a good feed for them, and you could use the young material and not damage the yield, would it be worth it to go out there and, you know, just take it off?
I think it depends on what kind of system you have. If you have a cattle and grain system, I think that'd be more beneficial, where if you just had a cattle operation, going out there and getting equipment that you didn't already have would be kind of a harder situation. So I believe it depends on what kind of a system you're already in.
So now you said that this was designed with soybeans to address the nutritional deficiency that we're seeing in the cattle grazing season. What is being used currently that you're looking at soybeans as possible for?
So currently grain is being supplemented during those low forage periods, and that's also part of the rotational grazing system of using paddocks. When you have no more forage in that one, you move to the next one and next one and next one. What this can possibly do is lengthen the amount of time within that paddock. It's a supplementary thing. It's not used completely.
All right.
Thank you.